everybody. Welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and I am really, really, really delighted that you're here. We're going to have a really wonderful show tonight. And, of course, that show wouldn't be as wonderful without my co-host and best friend and my hero, Janine Kimmel, is with us as well. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Thank you, Goldie. Hello, everybody. And so this week, Goldie will love this statement, I have power.
Yeah, no, you always have power.
I know. I just thought I would do that. The Hurricane Sandy, I took the electricity and all that out of the house, and then we were out without that for 11 days. And interestingly, just on the cusp of getting back the electricity and heat before we did, in fact, the night before we did, we got the nor'easter snowstorm. So I was in the cold and dark then, and so this is the first show back with electricity and heat, and it's a really nice thing. And it's good to be here.
I'm glad. Your warrior attributes, not that I ever questioned them.
Yeah.
But the warrior attributes, and this is kind of, I want to talk about this tonight as well. We really don't know our warrior attributes until, on some level, we have a war to fight. Whether you have electricity
more than just,
or
inconvenience, but staying warm, the more basic things, and being inventive, being resourceful, being flexible, and you won't be surprised, and Goldie got to meet her, but I come from warrior stock because my 85-year-old mother got electric after me the same day, but a little after, and I was so impressed. I'm like, man, she's amazing. And so, so it's nice to do a show with some heat.
Well, it's funny because I don't know if it's just the subtlety. I can feel it. I can just somehow feel that you have lights on in your space.
Isn't that wild?
It is.
I was going to say it's kind of like you almost were talking to me from if I was like into the wild, like I was in the. I was in a much
very organic and natural.
More primitive, natural state. And I just saw this video someone sent me of like a montage of the New Jersey area hurricane. And what was really amazing was this overhead shot of the tri-state area. And you could see this entire like blacked out where there was no light. And it was kind of amazing that this pocket of, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Staten Island was dark. And and I think it's in my voice that you can hear it.
Definitely.
I think my tone was lower. I can tell too.
You were guttural. Does that make
sense?
Yeah,
I was like hello from the wilderness.
and it was kind of beautiful though, because it's like it was almost like you were in your cave. You know how people say that metaphorically. I'm going to my cave, and it's a you were kind of in your cave broadcasting, which was really it was just remarkable. And I think it's remarkable because you can feel it. I love that, and I believe I know Susan was feeling it, and Art sent his love to so it's about all, it was a wonderful way to show everybody, there is sensitivities that, maybe we wouldn't have been so aware of without you showing us. And it's not like you showed us by, pointing to a whiteboard going, here, step one, step two, it wasn't.
Now that you're talking about it, though, I can see that, a lot of lighting, TV, internet, which I didn't have except for my iPhone, which was a godsend, and then I could even do the show from it, but they are distracting in a way. So maybe there was a there was a stronger focus or something, you know?
It's a flavor.
That's interesting.
But I did notice it, absolutely, because it was almost like the presence of nature that because it was so funny when we kept going, you know, I was like, I couldn't say you lost your power.
I know.
Because, you know, the dog fence was off, you know, that was, if anything, you know.
Maybe
it
gained power.
Well, consciously, there was no ceiling for you to hit.
Right, or have to.
And not saying that we can't get beyond
again.
It anyways, which you clearly get beyond it. I guess it's not even it's not a left or a right. That, you know, it's not like a polar opposite of like, because it wasn't better or worse. It was just, it was different. It was
noticing. Yeah.
There's the noticing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, I mean, lately, oh, my God. Well, I mean, so much to notice. So, and it's so funny because I got this hit today about as above, so below. And that, like, I've been getting these hits, okay. So there's so many people, myself included, you know, focused on the ascension, you know, and I'll just speak for myself. It's just, okay, so I'm focused on the ascension for the last, 17 years. I'm going to ascend. So, you know, like the visuals are, I've got to raise my frequency and I've got to expand myself. And then I was listening to George briefly in the forest today, and it totally struck me that, okay, as above, so below, for me, the organic, like I know that most of the work that I've done in the past 17 years has been like a mental construct. I've been ascending mentally, you know, build this, meditate that, bring this in. You know, it hasn't been the organic. And now I know I'm doing it organically because, for one thing, I'm not doing it through my mind. It's and it's funny, as I let go of the mind, the insight that hit me was that, okay, so I speak a lot about integrating the shadow side. Mm-hmm. And it like I saw so clearly, okay, so if we're let's say we're on the third dimension, and I'm picking up the pieces of third dimensional Goldie, and it, you know, whatever they are, but most of the pieces that have been scattered, it feels like to me, are the painful pieces. That those were the pieces that I didn't want inside of me at the time, I don't even have to know why that. But I see that as the pattern of myself growing up, the drugs, the sex, and at this point I can even see it. On some level, I've taken food. The things that I do, alcohol, you know, partying in general was always about so I didn't feel. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm feeling, it becomes, okay, so I bring back the pieces at the bottom, and because the nature of the way physics works, as below, so above. So as I bring in the shadow, without even trying, the insights that match it from quote unquote above, are coming simultaneously. It's not even a matter of, you know, are they coming? It by laws of physics, as above, so below.
Yeah.
So the expansion comes because I'm integrating from the shadow side, and then it hit me. It was like, it would make sense. Like, so it's like, okay, you're doing a jigsaw puzzle. And the shadow is the pieces of the puzzle. So you're putting the pieces together, and you're clicking them in, and you're feeling those wonderful integrative moments when the piece comes back into the whole. And then you hit that last piece, and you look, and the picture is clear. You see the picture on your puzzle. And that moment, it's like, it just feels like, it sounds so natural. Of course, now you go to the next level, And you would start the next puzzle on the next level, and you start gathering the pieces from that level. Because the thing that triggered me was when George said, you know, we projected ourselves down, and part of the misdirection and the misinformation is that we have to get to, like, the fifth dimension as if we're not there already.
Right.
But we are there. And this, we were talking about this last week, about this is about calling ourselves back home. And it's like, but because, remember, like, the way I've been focusing on this is about, it's like communication. How do I know I'm in communication with my higher self? And I was like, I don't even have to know I'm in communication with my higher self if I'm doing the, I guess, the underworld of shadow work.
Yeah.
My higher self, by it seems by law, or lore, L-O-R-E,
yeah,
has to be guiding me, because you, as above, so below. So if I'm getting pieces of myself together from the underworld, I'm also getting pieces that are, you know, naturally being available to me from the expanded space.
Yeah.
It would be,
yeah, that would just make sense to me, that quality of expanded consciousness or awareness through the fact that you're allowing yourself to just experience it. I think by its very nature, you begin to you used to doubt it, now you don't, but the awareness that you're not going, oh, go to the fifth dimension, that the fifth dimension is already, you know, we're experiencing it simultaneously. And then,
exactly.
And that awareness of that is a whole nother, you know, it is the world is flat, the world is round. I mean, that's another one of those times when you can read about it, you can think about it, but when you start to actually integrate that, and, you know, it's not even a, just remember, you know, we're in the fifth dimension,
right,
too. It's not even like that kind of thing. It's like a natural awareness, which I think,
exactly,
comes from shifting from the mental state to the experiential state, which,
agreed.
And then it's all about the willingness to become undone and take risks and go for it. And,
exactly,
you know, I really know that those are the benefits of when you do that, you know, and you don't do it.
Yes.
You don't do it as a task. It's just, it is a lore, you know, it's how it organically evolves. So, so, and the last week when you said, how the two contrasting, one was the fear of something and one was like the knowing or the hope, it was something you said, that they were becoming blended. That also,
I feel like my
was,
dreams and my fears. Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that they were becoming blended is also above and below thing. It's also
exactly
natural.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, I attribute that to, and I know vocabulary is limiting, but the quality of consciousness due to experience, and not just,
yes,
experience, but conscious experience. So,
exactly,
you know, and not to mental state, but about all heart. You know, it's like,
yes,
you know, and
yeah.
I mean, there were times, and I can't even recall them, and maybe through the radio show I will. But I was like, whoa, here it is. You're undone, and you know, I could feel it.
I
can't remember these little moments that were popping up for me. You know, whatever they were, it was like, you know, snowstorms and, you know, having to drive to JFK and get inventive and, you know, just crazy. Can you make this, Jay, and get to this, you know, get through and accomplish what you have worked for? And I just remember these moments where it was like, it'll work out, but right now I don't see how, but it will. And
yeah,
I just remember those,
yeah,
those undone. And I'm going, this is what it's all about. You know, don't hold,
yeah,
back. Don't hold back.
Yeah.
Be undone. You know, take risks.
It's like a commitment. It's like we have to commit to being undone.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean? Like,
Oh, yeah.
Because we're conditioned not to, you know, I know so many people that go, if I go into the darkness, it's going to swallow me up and I'll never get out. And I'm like, you know, I think to myself, I understand that. Hmm. And on some level, there's a truth to that. But there's no end. You know, it's not that you get swallowed up by the darkness and never come out. You get swallowed up by the darkness and literally the phoenix within you, you know, brings that. Because and it's a timing that is, it's almost, it's out of time because it's an experience that happens within you when you really commit to going, to being undone.
Yeah, and see that contrary.
It's like the fail-safe. We can't get swallowed up, but that's what we've been conditioned. It's what they've worked very hard to convince us of, because we can go through an eternity of not facing our darkness. What keeps us in the fishbowl?
Right.
It is the
way to the liberation, and
exactly.
And yes, that's where, you know, it's the, you know, just, you know, you stand at the edge and you're like, and it's like, no, just go, you know, it is funny because it does, we have been conditioned to think that, you know, it'll swallow us and that's the end of us. And it's actually, it will swallow us. And you are then freeing yourself from these fears of limitations that are really illusions.
Exactly.
Right.
Or really, it's a rebirthing. It's not a death. If it is a death, it's the death of the limited and the rebirthing of another piece of, again, like I was saying, the above part that knows you're eternal and knows the journey back up is from the bottom. You get there by, and I say this from the point of view because for so many years I was focused on, you know, bringing it in, bring in Metatron, bring in Archangel Michael, you know, bring in the big cannons, because like there was, I've always kind of had this knowing, at least since I've been awakened anyways, mm-hmm. I've had a knowing that I was going to do something great in this lifetime. And I'm not talking necessarily about a political or fame, but something that, you know, people would go, well, goddamn, she did it.
Yeah.
Once the awakening became part of my awareness, I went, you know, I used to think that I was going to become, quote unquote, like Jesus. And I guess on some level it is the Christed consciousness. But this is not about, you know, I don't want to be on people's necks hanging on a cross, you know.
And neither did that person.
That's true. Neither did the original being. Right on. Good point.
He was just doing
good point.
That's
an excellent point. So the more compression that takes place, which is what we're clearly going through. I mean, yesterday was the 11/11. Which was a gateway, and tomorrow there's a solar eclipse. You know, we're in a very, you know, astrological as well as internal and cellular, a really time of great shifting. Great shifting. This is not your average November 12th that we're experiencing right now. This is the end of a cycle. And all the meaning and all the experiences that come with that, and so anyways, I just find it so interesting that, you know, the idea, so to speak, of the meek shall inherit the earth, to truly ascend, I have to do is own my darkness, and it was so interesting because I love that balance plays a part in this because, you know, I mean, I still watch TV. You know, I still eat mounds of sugar, whether in cakes and candies or in my tea or whatever. You know, it's like, this is not about, you know, I must become perfect, you know. And it's also not about, as much as that is a lie, it's also not about, or I must be completely submerged in my darkness that, you know, that I'm doing satanic rituals and, you know, drinking the blood of small children. I mean, neither one of those extremes gets you ascended. It's the balance, and the balance for me is like this perfection of like, when the electricity goes off, you know, when you showed up on the show, there was a balance of, wow, the show has, it was almost like our sponsor, the mystical Mother Earth, was, you know, she showed up on those shows. And not that she's not here now, but she, you know, she played a cameo appearance. So what is that? That's where now I was tracking myself going, you know, because I couldn't say it about my father either. My father doesn't have power. I mean, it's so funny because the tracking of myself was going, I can't even say about these people who I, you know, adore and love, that they don't have power. I physically right. could. It was like, no, this is, that's incongruent for me. I can say they don't have electricity, but, you know, if anything, they have shown me how much power they have. And my, you know, I desire to have that same core presence, because it's just so clear to me that this is what is, this is the value of what we're going through, you know, because another thing that kind of was, you know, floating around through my awareness the last few days is you know, what do I value? Is to me something valuable, you know, a Birkenstock pocketbook, or, you know, these $500 purses, or, you know, Manola Blahnik high heels, you know, in the culture we live in, that would be a very normal thing to say, yes, that has value. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I mean, for me, a valuable experience or is, you know, having an interaction with a chipmunk, you know, in the forest, yeah. or going down a wormhole while I sit in a whirlpool, you know, at the YMCA, or, you know, it's like, it really is like, you know, well, what do I value right now? And it seems it's the organic. Like, I just get so clearly that if it's the Manola Blahniks in the pocketbooks that people are valuing, you know, there's that timeline. I seem to also have this presence of the timelines. That's a very different, you know, the timeline will take you where that meaning is in congruency, and the organic timeline will take people whose meaning, you know, of being incongruent with life takes them, mm-hmm. because it appears to me that, you know, I'm reaching a point where I'd be perfectly all right having nobody in my life that was, I don't need the diversity of non-organic people in my life. I'm completely, like, because being with you and your family on Saturday at the bookstore.
Yeah.
I couldn't, you know, me and Alana were talking. I don't want to say I couldn't believe it, but here's what I got. I mean, first of all, seeing you, you know, the audience must know. I was staring at Janine after we had our initial hug, and Janine came in, and her and David were, you know, reading chapter from the book, and I was staring at Janine like, this was the analogy I gave. Like, I was an adopted child, and I was brought back to my birth mother. I just couldn't stop staring at you, because there was something. Well, I'm telling you, because it was something. Your physical presence made such an impression, because it's interesting, you know, on the phone, you have a tremendous influence on me. Mm. And when I saw you, you know, at the bookstore, mm-hmm. you're so wonderfully, and God, take this the right way, you're so beautifully, you're average. You're just a person. I mean, because when we were trying, I'm average. It's the meek are average. This is, because when me and Alana were first trying to find you guys, when we had gotten there early, there was a couple that me and Alana were stalking through these restaurants that were down the street from Bank Street Bookstore. And, you know, Alana goes, because it was a blonde-haired man, a blonde-haired woman, and a brunette. Actually, he was gray-haired. He was an older man. And, you know, Alana said to me later on, because, you know, I go, I don't think that's them. Let's go back to the bookstore. And, you know, inevitably it was almost 5 of 3, which was when you were supposed to be there anyways. Yeah. And when I saw you and David outside, you had this rugged, you had your hand on your hip. You were standing with your leg a little bent, and it was really just, you were just like, yeah, so what? You know, that's right, I'm here. I mean, but it's not an arrogance, it's simply when you are a warrior, you don't stand with in a petite way because that's not who you are.
Right, right.
You're a warrior. Right. You stand like a warrior. And it's,
right.
I have a pregnant warrior picture that you just, and not that you look pregnant, but meaning the warrior, you can't, you don't shake that off of you. That's what it is. See, that's not, it's not average. I had this visual of you that
mm-hmm.
was funny because there's such a perfection to you in the way you helped me find myself. My visual went to very much a magazine kind of person,
person
you would find in a magazine.
Right, right.
And Alana even said it to me after we left. She goes, I'm so glad it wasn't that couple we first followed. I go, right? I was like, it's exactly how I felt, because it was like, you're just real. And there's no just. There's so much to be said, because this is who is really doing monumental, you are doing monumental work behind the scenes in the world of 2012. You know, it's not the Beyoncés and the, you know,
right, right.
Housewives of New York City. That's just, you know, they have their part, but it's not part of the organic timeline. It's really not. It's the organic timeline is very much a, here's what I got today. I felt for the first time in my life that I was with a group of people that I felt kindred with.
Yeah.
And the beautiful part was, the one thing we have in common is that we all do our own thing. I'm not a part of groups anymore. I don't do the Crimson Circle. I don't resonate with them anymore. The Almeen work, I don't resonate with that anymore. Unity Church, I don't resonate with. It's like, my people are the people that know how to be alone.
Yeah.
My people
yeah.
are the people that know how to be dark and without, you know, without feeling ashamed, as well as without drinking the blood of small children. I mean, it's like there's such an honesty and it's dirty from the sense of dirt, soil. There's dirt under our fingernails. And I, because I went to, David's site today.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. His pictures were so talking to me, Janine. I was like, he inspired in me that, you know what, I should not lose my idea. I've always wanted to travel, and it's so funny because I have fear of traveling. And I realized, because when I used to think of traveling to other countries, I would think of it as going to cities and bars and being arrested and I'm going, no, I should go to other countries and do wilderness.
Yeah, that get in touch with the natural world of that, which is like what...
Of these other countries.
Right, which
exactly.
is what I did with Ireland with David, and, you know, he does on his own or with maybe one companion of, you know, in the wildernesses, as you saw.
Right.
But, yeah,
right.
It's a much different, less threatening, much more nurturing and
totally
and expansive
totally.
And expansive, because
absolutely.
There's so much
absolutely.
To offer out there in terms of, you know, beautiful landscapes, wildernesses, natural worlds, you know. So I think that's
oh,
a
my
great
God. Yes.
That's a great noticing that you made about yourself, that you were feeling the trip that wasn't really the trip you would want anyway, you know? So, yeah. That's...
Well, and it's, right, but I felt that, because, you know, I said to myself, you know, me and Alana were talking that, yeah, I was like, it was so great meeting, you know, Carell from England and David from Italy, you know, and your brother. I mean, it was like, because, you know, another thing that I wanted to mention too is, it is very clear to me, relationships have nothing to do with time.
Right.
And I've heard so many people say, oh, I've known her for, you know, forever, so I know I can trust her, or something to that effect, or, you know, you have to know people a significant or a certain amount of time before you consider them, you know, true friends or it's a true relationship. And I was like, I mean, I sat in that room. I had never been in the physical space with anybody in that room. And there was so much, it was so obvious we were connected. I felt so, it was just the family experience. It was like, I haven't felt that way since I was like 8 years old at a Thanksgiving dinner at my house. You know what I mean? I haven't really, in all of the unity consciousnesses and all the Almeen pods, see, I wasn't feeling it there.
Yeah.
And I felt
no,
it
no,
eventually
I get it.
Bookstore.
Very organic, real people
yes.
doing their thing. Nobody of group mentality. And also, you know, I felt it too, and it was just so, to be able to say, well, first, just to meet you, and now, you know, having hugged you and touched you, and now we talk.
Yeah, right on.
And then, but also, it was so fun for me to go to the audience and the children and whoever came in. And Golden Hawk is here. And I was I just loved saying it. It just was great.
Well, did you see me? I was like a deer in the headlights. Because I couldn't stop staring at you.
I didn't even notice that, frankly. Honestly, God, I didn't notice that at all. And you didn't look like a deer in the headlights. You know, it just, everything seemed really, like falling together well, you know. And
no, right
and
on.
Speaking
right
of time
on.
And relationship, I mean, I hadn't, you know, I had just been with David for 48 stressful hours. Well, when he got here, we still didn't have heat. We came in the pitch black after midnight. He came in from JFK in a snowstorm where I thought his plane was going to be diverted to D.C. I sent a car service because they were already in JFK, and I figured, well, if the plane doesn't get there, at least I didn't drive an hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours to no plane. So,
right.
But I hadn't seen David in 2.5 years. And it was, talk about, like, learning or experiencing relationship in a different, non-conventional way, that, you know, we are so connected that, It just wasn't like the 2.5 years just didn't even exist.
Exactly.
Right. And, you know, everybody, we were just playing with each other and working together really well. And that is so, you know, that's just a natural state, you know. And so there was no, like, let's reorient ourselves or, I mean, it was just, you know,
yeah, I believe I've never met any of you per se, and there was no reorienting.
There was no uncomfortableness.
I mean, it was just an immediate sense of family. I swear to God, I was like, I mean, Carell was like, listen, we got a room up at my place, come, you know, and I was like, because the first thing I thought of was, remember when I used to do those shows? Well, it wasn't the first thing I thought of. I thought about this as the night was going on or the day was going on. Remember when I used to do those shows at Dawn's house where she would get all her friends and you know, we would do radio shows with everybody from Wisconsin would, you know. And I was like, I want to do that with the New Jersey people. I want to do that with my family. Because they were all, you know, when you came over, you're like, oh, it sounds like you're having a radio show right now. I mean,
I know, it did. There was at least two of them. No, I was like, oh, and another one. No, it was. It was like there was a radio show going on and over by that side of the room, and it was funny. You know, I could sort of hear the conversation, but I was like, that's a radio show.
Totally. I mean, Joanne was fabulous. Lisa's fabulous.
Yeah.
Jarell is fabulous. I mean, of course, everybody was fabulous. And it's so funny, too, because Alana's like, I go, you know, if I go to Janine's, you come in? She goes, absolutely. And I go, she got you, too, huh? She goes, you know, she's amazing. I went, I know. I mean, it's like, and we, you know, it's just so, it was surreal. That really is the best way to put it. And I mean, and then, of course, I mean, you sold out the books, which was like, I expect nothing less.
It was really great experience. And a little side note, I don't know if you noticed that maybe a block away was Frederick Douglass Boulevard.
I did not notice that. Oh, no. And across the street was the restaurant from Seinfeld.
Yes, Tom's restaurant or Tom's food or the. Yeah, but because when I was going
that's awesome.
When I was going uptown on Amsterdam, and I kind of said, "Which way is Broadway?" So I iPhoned my, you know, a map and just to see which way, turn left or right. And there it was, Frederick Douglass Boulevard. And I go, of course it's here. And I was like, oh, I can't wait to tell Goldie. I can't wait to tell Goldie.
That is so perfect. Of course. Well, and you know, that is, see, those in my humble opinion, those are the, you know, they look like small things, but those are, there's a huge... There's a huge gift of consciousness, truly, because
yeah totally.
That presence is there. Yeah.
Such a great expression, because I was just thinking, and you said it, that the night was so flowing and spontaneous and coming together, and it was all kinds of, you know, the odds, you know, David coming in a snowstorm, and we have had the hurricane, and it was just, and
right.
me getting the books to the store, and, you know, and then we had this wonderful book signing, and then the man that manages the store congratulated me, and then he goes, and you got to come back. And I was like, oh, what an unexpected thing that was. And, yeah, so he invited us back for the spring, so, you know, maybe
nice.
People will come, and we'll, you know, get another fun event going, and David's going to play the penny whistle, which is like a flute, because he had it with him. But, you know, we were, you know, you do what you do when it's,
right.
it was sort of like next time, you know, things develop as
yeah,
you work.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, it was so, what a great surprise that was. That's something I didn't even
yeah, that's awesome.
Think
that's
about.
Awesome.
So there's the unexpected, right? So,
now, was that the gentleman in the white shirt that was?
Yes. Wasn't
yeah,
he amazing?
He was fabulous.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Amazing. Such a
yeah,
sensitive.
Very sensitive person.
Oh,
I was just going to say. It,
so lovely.
He, I think he has autistic tendencies. That was
yes,
just what
definitely.
I was picking up.
But
how perfect.
Something just artistic and you know, the book, I have to say that there, that, you know, I said to myself, and then I said to David, and I said, you know, of all the bookstores, Sean the Rabbit really found the right one. I said, well, you
yeah,
know,
right,
oh,
right.
oh, oh, and just this is a, I mean, there's so many things about.
No, tell the stories. That's what the
yeah,
book show's about.
Different right placement things. But the unexpected and, you know, when, I mean, and truly this was. So, yes, so I say that. I say, you know, Sean, you know, do I ever need to doubt where the book ends up? Because Sean knows, and he found the best book, children's bookstore in New York, and what a wonderful thing for the book. And so, okay, so now I'm yesterday taking David now to Newark Airport, not JFK, which was great that he was flying out of Newark. And
right.
so much easier for me. It's like
right.
nothing. And
right.
so,
yeah, right on.
It's kind of dusk, so it's not dark yet, but it's like that pretty time. And I'm pulling out of the driveway, and I hit the brakes. In the driveway, a rabbit runs right in front of
oh,
the
nice.
Car across the driveway. And I just
wow.
said, David, Sean's back. I'm like, I said, I haven't seen a rabbit here in months. I said, can you believe it? I go, he's just letting us know. It's all good. It's all okay. Just keep going, you know? And he goes, Jay, that's amazing. It's a sign. I go, because really that's what happened when we wrote the story.
That's how it got birthed, right?
Yeah, that's
I mean,
how
literally.
It got birthed, right.
Yeah.
And Sean became the character. So, yeah, so it was just another, you know,
nice.
Wonderful.
That's beautiful.
Isn't it beautiful?
Well, and see,
so,
this is what I'm talking about. See, now there's value. I just see there's value of a rabbit going by, but you know what? In our world, there that's not childish. That's magical.
No, because
that's
these
magical
are the
value.
That, these are yeah. This is a language of the lore. This is the you know and talk about right placement. Just a little side note here. Because you and I had discussed this, like, maybe the beginning of last week when you know, you, I said something and you go, I'm writing that down. And it was like, yeah. It was like about, it was about placing yourself right or in right placement, but not because,
yep.
you know, you're strategically figuring it out. You become almost, quote, a natural at it. And that's another
yes.
thing that you can't, you know, you can't force or fake. It's part of the experiential development of ourselves. And so,
yes.
So,
yes.
so here's just an example. So last week before the electric came back, but, you know, I really needed to do some paperwork and check bank accounts. And so I drove over to Lisa's house where actually my therapy office is, and she had heat. And that wasn't really the pull, though. I went to, like, do some paperwork and get some things in the mail that I needed to get in the mail. So
okay.
I'm over there and at her house, and I need to write a check, three checks. I need to write three checks. And so
okay.
I decide, well, and I see that I only have two checks left in the checkbook. So I go,
okay.
well, okay, you have to change your plan now because that means you will write these two checks out, but you won't go to the post office now. You'll go home and get the checkbook, write another check, then you'll go to the post office, but now you'll go to a different post office because I'll be closer to a different post office. So I go home
okay.
and I write the check, and now it's about, let's just say it's about 10 days since the storm occurred, and since I've reported the house to Jersey Central Power and Light at least 5 times that
okay.
the lines are down on the ground across my driveway on the yard, and when they go hot, when the power company turns them on, that means I have live wires on the ground. So I've told
okay.
them like 5 times, right? So no one's showing up. So I'm not thinking about that, but, you know, you do what you can do. So now I write the check and I go, okay, so just run to the other post office. So
okay.
I'm driving maybe a quarter of a mile away from my house, and I see a car pull out of a driveway, and everything for no... Oh, and it had this little, like, almost you would buy it at a hardware store, like a light, like a flashing light you could stick on top of your car. Like, you know,
okay.
you make your
yeah,
car.
Little,
yeah,
right.
It's like, you,
right.
you know, right.
To
I
let
say
people
to my,
know you're in distress or whatever.
Right, or you're somebody, and I don't know who you are, but you're, like, maybe a responder to, like, a call or some. I don't know. So
right,
but
right.
My intuition immediately... Like, I wasn't thinking. I just knew that's a Jersey Central Power and Light inspector that's freelancing because they just stuck him in a normal car and they put a thing on top. I go, that's
oh,
a Jersey
I
Central.
See. Okay,
right.
okay.
So I knew. I just, it wasn't like I saw a sign. So I see the car and I go, that's an inspector. So
okay.
I watched the car go by me. And on there's a magnetic sign, like, you know, that they made the car into, and it says Jersey Central Power and Light. And I go, sit. Okay. So now I see
okay.
him go into another driveway, and now I see power trucks in that driveway, like big power trucks with guys in orange coats and hard hats and stuff, like major
okay.
line guys. So I go, oh, that's it. So I turn, I do a U-turn on this little country road that I live on. I pull in the driveway behind them, and I, you know, I get out, and I go, hi, and they go, can I help you? Because he's talking. I go, yeah. I go, I've called the power company 5 times. I said, we have live wires, and he goes, where do you live? I'll be right down.
Nice.
Wait. I go, okay. And I go, okay, so, okay, I'm going to go mail these letters. I'll be home. So I literally do that, and I'm home. This is fantastic. This is because I had to write another check, you see? Like,
it's because
you only had
2 checks, exactly.
Right. So now he pulls in, he looks at the situation, he goes, I'll be right back with the guys. They're going to fix the power lines that, you know, but I'll tell you what, you're going to need
an
that are down, you're going to be all rewired from the street. He goes, and
okay.
see, the street already had power, so everybody else had power but me because it was all screwed up. So that had gone on the day before, but we couldn't get it. So, but the wires were live. They were just faulty, which is even worse. But anyway, okay, so the big trucks pull in, and they're doing their thing, and I'm like, oh my God, this is 20 minutes later from when I saw the
right.
So now he says to me, okay, so listen, you're not going to have power, though, because you see that pole to your house is a private electrician's job, not the power company. And you see this, and this, and this, and this. And I go, oh, okay. So now, okay, it's the hurricane. Now I got to find a private electrician. So I start making calls, and I'm not getting any responses. Like, you know, kind of like, ha, 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 or yeah, sure, you know, or so many electric. So he comes back. He comes back, and I go, okay, so if I'm having trouble finding an electrician, but, and I just say this, like, you don't think about it. You just, coming out of my mouth, I go, just in case you see an electrician, I go, tell him to come here.
Oh, right on. That was brilliant.
Ten minutes later, an electrician pulls in the driveway and goes, an inspector just told me you needed me. I go,
brilliant. Right on.
I know.
Right
I go,
on.
I do. So he checks out the thing. You know, he checks it out. He says, I'll be back tomorrow, weather permitting. That's when the snowstorm was coming. The snowstorm has already started, right? So he goes, weather. He literally was back at 8 o'clock. The snowstorm had just finished, like, somewhere about 5 in the morning, and fixed it, and we had power. And it was all because, you know, the power company wasn't responding from my phone calls, but I saw an inspector. And it was just, I go, there's that right placement thing. You know, where...
And it was so organic. You know,
organic.
It was not contrived through the mind.
No. Just like the rabbit running across the driveway. These are the things. You know, this is how this is how it works. And it's kind of an amazing thing because it's not predictable. It's just, you know, but when it's happening, you're like, that's the check. I had to come home. I had to go to a different post office, and there's now at 20 minutes later, I've got power cut guys here, and you know, and it was. You know, and then, honestly, the most amazing person picked up David at the airport in horrendous weather. I mean, they were saying, please don't go out on the roads. Please don't go out on the roads. But he had the most lovely, extraordinary, capable driver.
Nice.
And I was like, see how this is working? I mean, it's just all working, you know? And it's not working the way you would go. You know, it's going to be sunny in 60s and the house is perfect. And then, you know, and then I go get David and, you know, have a candlelight dinner and flowers. No, he came up.
Bring your tent. You might need it.
Right. And my son and Poppy and me were like on the couch freezing, going, oh, you know. So anyway, it was just kind of, you know, again, how it works out, you know, and you can't,
well,
you know, you
but
just,
I'll tell you, and it's how you process, though, because I, you know, knowing you now the way I know you, you know, and having been, there's something that happened when our physical skin touched. I don't know, but there, it's almost like the connection for me anyway. It just feels more solidified at some level.
Yeah.
Because. Because it really is, it's like it's a frequency that, you know, and I keep running through my head that, you know, what Robert Young says, the higher self will meet you in the house that higher self built. You know, we can play in the drama all we want, and it's so funny because in the drama, there's so many people praying to God to help them. And, you know,
a distraction in itself, you know.
But God ain't helping you there.
It's even a confusing, I mean, if someone really were to think about that, that would be very, like, it's such a diversion to really understanding this world that we're talking about, which is, you know, that's almost like the helpless child that needs, you know, the authority figure to, you know, it, when you start living in the the right placement and the organic and, you know, but getting there is the undoing of self. You know, it is the risk taking.
Yes.
It is the, there is no guarantees and you don't want them. You know, and
exactly.
You don't want, and so it's so that, and so then the whole thing about the outside, you know, well, hope God will help us. I mean, it's not about that, you know, at all. Mm. It's such a foreign way of seeing things for me, you know, at this point. You know, it's like,
right on.
Yeah.
Well, but
yeah.
And witnessing you, you know, from a frequency point of view and then witnessing you physically. I mean, I just so clearly, there's such a, it even goes beyond confidence. It's like, I swear to God, meeting you solidified my own knowing that the journey I'm on is the journey I want to be on. You know, it's like, And it's not, it was like, it just went to this new level. I mean, and of course, you know, because when I saw Janine, she had just gone 11 days without power, you know, the snowstorm, you know, and here she is, you know, in a bookstore, you know, basically, you know, promoting and you know, David's in from Italy and her family's there. And it was an interesting setup because when we first got set up, there was a sense that I had. It was like, oh, this is a little tight. The area we were in felt a little tight.
Yeah.
But I swear to God, then Janine shows up and she starts reading, and this is again the organic. The whole room opened up because one of the things I wrote on Facebook that night that I think they could see us from space in that room because we were like there was like 12, 15 beacons of presence.
Yeah. Yeah.
That. You know, it was like there was nothing tight about the space at all. There was nothing small. There was a flow. There was there was such magic in the whole experience. I mean, it was and the funny part was I haven't talked to you since so me and Alana I was like, okay, what do you want to do? And Alana's boyfriend had been texting her. He had a bad day at work, so, you know, it was clear. She's like, I want to get home. And I was like, okay, no problem. You know, I was like, I'll go back to Scott's. I'm totally cool with that.
Right, right.
And our little journey, we had a little journey on the way home. When we got back to Grand Central, no problem. And it was interesting because we realized that right as we got to Grand Central, there was like a train leaving the express in like 3 minutes. So
okay.
I was like, okay. Let's get down to the gate. So we didn't run, but we briskly were walking because I was like, listen, I personally, we both kind of love people watching. I was like, it would be great. But I could tell there was a pull from her, you know, her boyfriend wanted her home. And that was the energy guiding us, which was interesting because as the night unfolded, we ended up not getting home till about 4 hours later. As it unfolded, she recognized that it wasn't authentically what she wanted.
Yeah.
And that's why we were finding these blocks, because at one point we were just getting ready to go into the gate area of whatever, the track 110, and this guy pulling this huge garbage bin thing, I mean, it was huge, it was, you know, taller than both of us, right as we're getting ready to go into track 110, he stops and blocks our way with this huge, and just walks away from the garbage thing. I mean, I looked at Alana and I went, okay, is something telling us, you know, like, I went, you know, and we started walking around it, and I go, you know, you realize that this is, you know, I think it was like it was probably about 6:30 or 7, 6:30-ish. I was like, the train's going to be packed. We're probably going to have to stand up. You know, it's the end of the train. You know, I was like, you know, I go, there's got to be another train in like 20 minutes. So I was like, we'll just wait for 20 minutes and, you know, pick and choose our seats because we were the first ones on or, you know. And she was like, I get that. Okay, cool. And I was like, oh, right on. So then we went up and we bought coffee and a pretzel, you know, and we sat and we people watched and just talked about the day because I was flying. I felt so good.
Yeah.
And my truth was I didn't want the day to end. And Alana didn't, but she was, you know, a little bit torn, you know. my boyfriend needs me kind of thing. So,
but then the garbage guy took care of that. So that was kind
of... Well, which was, you know, see, that was kind of my right placement because, I mean, it was just...
Definitely, I was thinking... I was thinking it's like, you know, oh, I need another check, so I got to go home. It was like,
exactly.
The garbage man pulled it up, you know.
It was just, because if you saw the way it happened, I literally went, Alana, you know, something's telling me we shouldn't get on this train. I mean, and she went,
I see
that as well. I mean, something blocked us from doing it. And it, again, it wasn't a block, like, you know, he didn't run over our foot. Because
we
don't need slaps that hard. It's just, it's the tracking of awareness that... When he did that, we kind of chuckled. So the next train we find, we get on the train, and it's a local. And I'm like, okay, all right, no big deal. So we're going to have a lot more stops, and, you know, but we'll still, you know, as Alana put it, we're still moving towards our goal, which made her feel better. So we were talking to the conductor, and I said, you know, will this train take us to South Norwalk? And he goes, no, it's going to stop in Stamford. He goes, and then what you'll do is you'll get off and pick up the train that if you had just waited longer in Grand Central would have been the train that would have been the first stop for Stamford.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, and I went, it's all good. My girl wanted to be moving. You know, that's what she needs. That's what we do. I didn't care. Me and Alana were still together, and we were still talking. It was fine by me. So we get to Stamford, and again, you could really tell that there was a depth that happened at the bookstore. Because, I mean, even Alana goes, she goes, there was no small talk going on today at the bookstore. You know, everybody was kind of truly indulging soul. And it was not necessarily, it was soul work. Like Joanne was speaking of, you know, the treasure she found from, you know, confronting her marriage. And David was sharing, you know, the treasures of going across Iceland and, you know, Lisa and Carell were speaking on their journeys. You know, we were all just sharing, you know, it felt like accomplishments, but they were all soulful. You know, nobody was... Nobody was talking about pocketbooks and Birkenstocks. You know, this just wasn't what it was about. So when me and Alana get to Stamford, the train comes, we get on the train, and I guess we were two stops after Stamford. But me and Alana were also talking about what we ended up talking about was the car chase. Because for whatever the reason, me and her find it's one of my, I love that story and like I love talking with her about it because she was the only one who could really appreciate it from my perspective. She was in the car with me, so
yeah,
we love it. So I'm sure you can figure out the rest of the end of the story. We went seven stops past South Norwalk. All of a sudden, she goes to me. She goes, Bridgeport, is that where we're... And I went, Bridgeport? I went, Alana, oh, my God, get off the train. Quick, get off the train. She was like, well, I go, we are way out of... And now, in here, it doesn't stop there. So we get off at Bridgeport, and what's so funny about Bridgeport is Bridgeport historically is a... You don't want to be there. All the stops, there's Fairfield, there's Westport, there's Bridgeport is, you know, historically. Now, but what I clearly got was that the police station is now built across the street from the train station. Okay, that's, you want to see that? There's security guards. It's well lit. And there's also a collegiate presence. So there's a lot of kids, you know, which okay, good. I'd rather have it be more filled than empty. Empty is when I get nervous. So we talked to the security guard and, you know, he goes, okay, the next train is in 40 minutes. And now we're already, I think we were at like 9 o'clock at this point. So I went, okay, where, and now of course the way you look at it, we were on one side that we just got dropped off. So we assume go to the other side of the ramp to go back the other way. You know, we had to go back, we had passed our stop.
Yeah.
And the guard told us go to the other side of the ramp. So we did. Then the truck comes, and they kept saying it was the 932 to New Haven. And I'm like going, it was already 9:35, and our train was supposed to come at 9:38. I go, it's 9:35, Alana, that must be our train. She goes, no, it's going that way. That's towards New Haven. And I was like, Alana, we're on this side of the track because we want to go that way. And she goes, no, we want to go the other way. So we turn to the guy on that side of the track, the security guard, and I go, which train, you know, where is the train going to pick up or stop going to South Norwalk? And he goes, oh, on the other side of the track. And he goes, that's it right there. And it was there. It was, and I went, come on, Alana. So we boogied down, you know, down the steps underneath the tunnel. And I swear to God, we ended up making the train. And we literally said, because at this point I was now in congruency going, because I really was like, I don't want to be at Bridgeport. I was just
any longer.
I didn't want to be there. I was in wonderful place, you know, reminded me of Harlem, you know, kind of, it's like, oh, Fred was saying all this, and I was like, you know, and I knew I was getting that from Bridgeport, and I really didn't need to be, but I couldn't shake it. I just couldn't shake it. We get on the train, heading back to South Norwalk. We were afraid to even talk to each other. I went, we're not even going to have conversation, are we? She goes, no. I went, okay. I get that. But we were laughing our asses off, because she did say to me, she goes, you know, this really kind of came from, it was Matt that wanted me to go. Because she goes, if Janine wanted to go out to dinner, she goes, I was going to text Matt and be like, listen, you know, I'm wherever Goldie's going, we're going.
Yeah.
And I was like, I really appreciate that. And I go, and she, it was interesting because she was unfolding the whole idea of, she's becoming aware that it's not about going home and saving him, but kind of allowing him to sit in those uncomfortable moments. And when it's divine, when it's organic that she's not there, to let him sit there when she's not there.
Yeah, which is what was occurring.
Exactly. And she could, it was so beautiful to watch her go, you know, maybe this isn't out of time. You know, in other words, this isn't a bad thing. This is exactly the way it she goes, because I really didn't want the night to end yet either. And I was like, I can tell you I was in alignment with that. I go, you know, so it's like, because it's hitting me the importance of being in alignment with our lore.
Yeah.
Because that's the acceptance piece. You know, because it's so funny. I used to be so afraid to be alone, and yet I wasn't finding relationships that were promoting me to want to be with somebody. I mean, it was like I would try, and I'm telling you, when Goldie tried, you know, I was on the internet dating, you know, three guys a weekend for like, you know, 272 weekends. You know, I mean, like, it wasn't from lack of trying. I was meeting people, trying to get a relationship so I didn't have to be alone. And now I so clearly see it's like, you know, my life is really better. And I love Scott, but, you know, the truth is, Scott helps me be alone. Scott has helped show me how to be in a relationship but be sovereign. Not be, you know, needy and
attached
and,
to the
you know,
hip. Yeah.
Attached at the hip, not at all. In fact, completely the opposite. And being in alignment with that has everything to do with, it's almost like that was my life for the last 17 years. It's just I was on this kick that it was like, well, I'm going to do everything I can to have a boyfriend, to make sure I'm not alone because I'm afraid to be alone. When, boy, if I had started a little, and there's no waste of time, but if I had started a little earlier, you know, going, well, why don't we try this alone thing because it's clearly what is.
Yeah,
And I believe that all of us listening, we know in our life what is. And you know, I invite everybody to look at the things that you're, quote, unquote, trying to force.
Yeah.
The things that take you a lot of mental, like I have a girlfriend of mine who's constantly trying to convince the man she's in love with to move from Florida up to Connecticut. I mean, it's a constant where you go, you're trying too hard. You know, it's just not what is. Because when you surrender to what is, the joy will come in, and it's not initial. Of course, initially you have to, you know, you have to acclimate and integrate the disappointment that you didn't get what you think you wanted. But
exactly.
I'll tell you, if you stay conscious and you acclimate yourself to what you have, want what you have, not what you think you're supposed to have that is clearly not showing up. Because
yeah.
if you can do that, then, see, this is the irony. I'm affiliated with no groups, but I feel like I have a loving family in New Jersey that I can't wait to come up and, you know, spend some time with and see everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But not because I looked for a group, but even better, it's the group that honors my sovereignty, which now that I have that, I am at peace like I've never been before. It's just so ironic when they say you'll get what you're looking for when you stop looking for it.
Yeah, it's so true. And like what you said, Robert Young said, which, you know, I've learned so much from both of my books, not only the writing of them, but the process of getting them out there in the world, where I really learned about, you know, letting it happen as opposed to trying to force things because it doesn't work. And where it
Absolutely.
Ends up, where it ends up anyway is always amazing to me in that, you know, it's like, oh my, you know, this is the fit, you know, and so,
exactly.
you know, when something's not a fit, you know, it would be so helpful to people to go, wow, it's not a fit, you know, instead of keep trying, you
instead
know,
of
I mean,
jamming that square peg in that round hole.
Right. And you know, if that's part of our process, cause I'm sure I've done
right.
that a lot and for years and, you know, and resisted. And then, you know, eventually, you know, it was much bigger than running out of a check and needing to go home for the check.
right.
these are the little ones, you know. But you know, it's how it works, you know. And so, yeah, it's such a different way of having life be, you know.
Absolutely.
And then you start. The benefit is you really start to have fun with the noticing of how this is, you know. Oh, you know, it's like. Wow, you know, look what happened, and you know the vibe in
yeah.
in the book signing. What was so fun is I never even thought of. Oh, I hope he invites us back. Oh, I never even thought of it, and then he goes, "Oh,
yeah.
you got to come back," and I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah.
It's just like that's the way life works, you know. When you're authentic in your and right placement, and you know. It's just not contrived, you know.
Exactly.
But it's also I wouldn't say, and you know, the proof even was this event was it's also not quote easy because I you
right.
know I had to do my part. I mean, I had to get David here, and we had to go
right.
to storms
right.
and get books there and contacts and. You know, the posters and do it right and be professional and blah, 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 blah. But so I did that part, you know, but so it wasn't
right.
like, oh, this is cake. No, it
right.
wasn't. I was in some ways I'm going, man, I'm earning this. You know, it's like, you know.
Well, but isn't it? It's so much more the wisdom of putting effort into the alignment of what you're – to put effort into your soul alignment, well –
Yeah.
Then you get the benefits of they can see you from space.
Yeah,
to put
exactly.
the effort into the personality alignment.
Considered that. Yeah, yeah.
What do you get when you're calling your boyfriend on the phone, you know, all the time going, you know, are you coming? Are you coming? Are you coming? All you really get is from all that effort is frustration.
Yeah.
See, it's almost like we're putting the effort in anyways, but the key is one is in alignment and one isn't.
Yeah, one is the world is flat, the other is the world is round. You know what I mean? It's
absolutely.
Like it really is a different, you know, as who said it, I guess it was Eckhart Tolle about, you know, you are in like literally another timeline. You are. When you're functioning
exactly.
at, you know, in this way, you get more and more aware of it because you're experiencing it. you know, that this is another kind of timeline or another timeline or, you know,
Well, it's clearly a different experience where, you know, as much as, you know, I really didn't want to be in Bridgeport, you know, it was great being with Alana. I mean, you know, and in those moments, it was when she was getting the awareness of, oh, maybe I don't have to save my boyfriend, and which is part of the dynamic of what, you know, she's 21, and this is part of the dynamic she's learning about herself, you know, the people pleasing and all that. And it's like, so it's like, wow, you look and go, I could say those words to her, but this experience, you know, is actually helping her see it. And gosh, with that, well, isn't that worth, for me, isn't that worth being a little uncomfortable? Hell yeah, it is. Of course. You know, I love her. I want nothing but for her to get these awarenesses. And I have known, and it's one of my lessons learned is that you can't give somebody awareness. You can't give somebody freedom. You can't give somebody sovereignty. You can tell them how you've done it and then witness it as they experience it. But it really is not something, consciousness can't be given to another. It can simply you can be a living example of it, and then when it hits them, they'll go, oh, that's what she was talking about. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like when Frederick Douglass figured out reading and information and knowledge was key, and then he could tell others about it, but you can't, you know, read for someone. I mean, that's the acquiring of the skill, and the knowledge was for their part. So, you know, it's the same thing, and I guess, you know, Saturday was a real culmination of so much kind of coming together of you're in my show and not having seen you but talked about meeting, and, you know, then David. It was just this whole culmination of results of, like, of time put into you know, living that way. You know, just saying yes to things, and, you know, yes to the show with you, and, you know, doing it on, you know, weekly and consistently. And so what if you don't have electricity? Don't, you know, that's even better.
Exactly.
You know, or, you know, so this is like, it's, you know, quote, kind of the payoff of it all. And with it, we really did have the big payoff on Saturday. It was wonderful.
Oh. It was amazing.
It was, right?
Meeting Lisa, I mean, meeting your brother, your son, you know, and I mean, the first thing I said to him was, I am visualizing you at the Apollo.
We love that.
I know, I was like, where the hell did that? But it was like, it was something my soul was like, because I didn't think that. It was just like, I just wanted him to know, because this is another thing that I'm getting awareness of.
You told me? Someone goes, you're like, you're telling him where to play. And he goes, no, she's just doing quantum.
Quantum jumping. Exactly.
Yeah. He goes, no, she's just doing quantum jumping. And Goldie goes, looks at me, and I look at her, and we're like, yep.
That's her son. Exactly what I was doing. And I have videos where I had just recently seen the term, a gentleman talking about the term quantum jumping, which is you go to the space where it's already happening and you pull that energy into yourself and then experience it. I mean, when he, it was like, wow. Like,
I know.
Exactly.
I know. That was a moment for me. That was a moment for me.
Yeah.
I was experiencing it. And then I was like, Goldie, are you surprised? And you're like, no.
Not at all. Well, and it was funny because when I hugged him, I said in his ear, I go, I love your mother, incredible. You know, so much.
Yeah.
For some reason, that was. I just wanted him to know that.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
I love him, but it was like I just wanted him to know. Like, I got your mom's back. You know, I was just like, you know, I'm there for her. Need it, but you know, it's, you know, there's support here. There is support, and Yeah, it was.
And bold connection and, you know, and.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. And he even said, Goldie said he loves you. She loves you. I go, yeah, I know. And, you know, it was great because everyone was feeling, there was a big excitement for everyone to meet you too. Because, I mean, David must have said, have you heard from Goldie? Have you heard from Goldie? Tell the audience.
Oh, really?
Tell the audience and Goldie, I send my regards. And, you know, and he kept, he must have asked me on Sunday like 4 times. You know, have you heard from Goldie?
Oh, I mean, he really did. He actually, he made an imprint on my soul.
Yeah.
Because, and when I went to his site, that was when I, because it really is about, you know, because I'm going to email him. I'm curious how he got his sponsors, and I'm sure it was organic, but I'm from the quantum jumping point of view, because I was, you know, I was checking out his sponsors, and it's like, you know, here's a man who's he's living the journey. Because one thing that is so clear to me is the people that I resonate deeply with, mm-hmm. all are on the journey within.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't, we don't go within on Sundays from 10 to 12 when we're at church. We live in the world of the last frontier is truly the landscape within.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Whether it's because my boyfriend's wired for that or because my best friend and her boyfriend don't, you know, that's who they are. That, because I could see that there was the lore of attraction was that everybody in that room had done their own inner journey and still are doing their. It's not like we did our inner journey and now we're all, you know, on Oprah. You know, that's not the culmination. Our journey doesn't lead to Oprah so we can sell, you know, so Oprah can say this is our book club of the month, sell a million. I mean, that's just not.
Yeah, we're just, we're doing our thing.
We're living our soul, and it seems to me very clearly that it's the journey of being done in the fishbowl, and this is what it takes to leave the matrix. These are the experiences, and again, there was such a camaraderie, and you know, I'll be honest with you, I absolutely felt. That there was excitement that I was there from everybody, from your brother, Lisa and Terrell had said it. You know, they were like, Goldie's here. And I was like, I said, I just go to Alana. I go, did you hear that? And she goes, that's the twinkle you do. She goes, you do that. You get that where you, and I went, yeah, no, I loved it. I admit it. I loved it. It's like, it was fun, you know, but you know, that was like the tip of the iceberg. Then having the conversations with them.
Yeah.
That was like, wow, this is, you know, this is all of us, you know, and that's what there's not often you go into a room and I'm talking even with spiritual people where you go into a room that, you know, the talk mostly is, you know, okay, so what's your marketing plan? And,
you know,
when I was going to Wisconsin, there was no inner journeys going on, really. In fact,
yeah.
That's kind of why I got booted out of there, because, quote-unquote, Goldie was bringing the dark around, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're nice enough people, but there's no inner journey going on. I want to be – I like that people in caves come out and share, because what there is a frequency. David's traveling all over the world on foot, which is like – I mean, I swear to God, me and Alana were talking when we were coming into the city and when we had seen the, and Alana's the one who noticed it, when she had seen the restaurant from, what's that guy's name? I can't think of it. Tom's restaurant
Seinfeld?
Is from what show?
Seinfeld.
When she had seen the restaurant from Seinfeld, I said to her, I go, okay, for the rest of the day, let's make this a Seinfeld episode. You know, I was like, so we'll see what is going to be like the play of the day. Well, you know, it'll unfold. What's the play of the day? So the first part, of course, was us trying to find you. That was
right.
But when we were you know, inside the book club, inside the bookstore, and the process started where you were, you know, doing the book signing and reading and stuff, you know, then it became like this soulful event that it was timeless, it was spaceless, it was, you know, the, you know, because when I got, after, you know, we left and, you know, me and Alana were there, I was like, whoa, what happened to, you know, Seinfeld? And she goes, oh, Seinfeld went to the Twilight Zone.
Right, right. Like,
exactly.
That was
exactly
a plan,
where it was.
That's not,
you know.
That was just a short-term thing. Yeah, it was like...
Exactly. We were, you know, in the episode where they were looking for the car in the garage, you know, only for a little while, and, you know, and then Rod Serling showed up.
Right, and then you went to Briarwood.
Exactly. Well, and that's what it felt like. I mean, because
Meeting
David gives you such a different perspective on the characters. In fact, it gives such a... Because I saw a picture of David sitting against a huge monolith stone playing the penny pipe.
Yes.
And I saw Penny Boy, totally. I mean, I just... Yes. Like, I don't know how... It was just... I could see it. I could see the character. I could see him. And I went, oh, my God, it's in these journeys and these treks that he's done across the world in nature. That he got these characters. Oh, by the way, it also went, I said, it became Lord of the Rings. Was,
oh.
Because everything was on, David reminded me of, you know, he's one of the characters from Lord of the Rings, and literally, he's walked the lands. You know, it's,
yes.
You know,
yes.
He's not traveling by, you know, entourage, and then when I saw the scooter thing, I go, and he's actually, you know, he got sponsored by a scooter company to take a scooter across Iceland. I look at that and I go, okay, that's just beyond exquisite. That is, and when I saw his sponsors, you know, how they're a clothing company that feels very much like it started out of somebody's basement, but the passion of that clothing company, I saw sponsors in their passion meeting David in his passion,
right? Like the right fit, and he's
totally.
You're right about him because he's there's some kind of standard that he has that
totally.
He stays away from the like the fake and the phony, and you know it's just whatever it is, that attractability thing, or that, you know, maybe there were sponsors that he thought he had, but they didn't work out. But then these sponsors over the years are the ones that, you know, have aligned with him, and and they're kind of obscure, which I like
there's
a skateboard company, and I think it's Czechoslovakia. You know, it's not California. It's not, you know, England. Czechoslovakia, you know, and but it all kind of works, you know, and that's, you know, he'd be good to talk to. It'd be interesting to see what he has to say. But
especially I love that email will be, I was having, you know, Alana's so brilliant when David was reading part of the chapter, the first chapter in the book, she read the book with him, which acclimated her to how David says and pronounces words.
Yes.
And I went, God, that's brilliant, Alana. I go, because I just listened to him because, you know, was so, I was just mesmerized by both of you. I truly was just mesmerized. But then it took me a few minutes because I was like, you know, I tell her all the time, like, if I watch a movie that has Irish people, like Trainspotting, which is a very dark movie, it would take me like 25 to 30 minutes. And then it's like I drop in and I'm like, okay, I'm now in the frequency of their accents and I can understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
But it'll take me, I just don't turn on the TV and immediately understand them, where Alana goes, yeah, as soon as he started talking, she goes, I knew to read the book, and she didn't, wasn't a thought, it's just she knew to do this. She goes, and then I could see how he was pronouncing things, and I was like, wow, that, you know, and wish you I know, was on that with you, because my first couple of minutes with David, I kept going, pardon me? Pardon?
No, and you
I felt
know,
like
it's funny
because
those two little kids were doing that. I looked down and they were doing the same thing, which is kind of, I think they did the same
yeah.
thing that Alana did, which I think is cool because David, I had so much fun listening to him and his, you know, the just his sweetness and passion and
well, he brought a depth to the story. He brought
he
a depth
did,
to
and
it.
I thought
he
that
did.
His accent wasn't even, like, I was like, we'll just deal with that because it
yeah,
was so
yeah.
worth him reading. And
yes.
then what
yes.
it ended up happening was the little kids started following the story also, like Alana, and I thought that that was great, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, I could have at any point go, give me the book back, but I just liked hearing him.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Because again, you know, there was a worldly energy there. I mean, him being
yeah.
Italy, you know, you have the Irish and Carell with England.
Yeah, the England and.
And
yeah.
it was more than that. You know, there was just
and
a,
the store,
more
the
world
store.
Present. Yeah,
the
store
was
itself.
Incredibly diverse. You know,
absolutely.
All the customers were from everywhere, and you know
that's
that
true.
Woman
that's
with
true.
Her two children were Iranian, and you know they had the most interesting names. And the man before we start, well, we didn't even know we were going to read until Andrew said, "Okay, we're going to start," and David and Janine are going to read, and we looked at each other like, "Okay." and
exactly.
But then this man rushed in to buy a book, and his you know, we said, okay, we'll start as soon as we, because he was in a hurry, which was fine, but
right.
his son's name was Kabir, and I was like,
was that the black boy that was there,
no,
and then he got called
no.
away?
No, that
oh.
was Max, but this boy, he was 9, and he wasn't there with the man. The man was buying him
oh,
the
I
book.
See. Oh, I see.
But Kabir
oh, okay.
is such an ancient Persian name that I know oh. from reading poetry of Rumi. Because he always talks
oh,
about
wow.
Kabir. And I said to the man, wow, that's a really ancient name. You know, and he's like, yeah, but I'm thinking, here I am writing books out to Kabir. I'm like, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah,
know?
That's pretty deep. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty deep, right? it's the way, and it's like, okay, that we're off to a good start. We're writing
yeah.
books out to Kabir, you know, and
yeah.
Yeah,
so, Rumi was present.
Rumi was present. Ancient Persia was there. Which was
well,
true, because that woman and her children, they seem to have an Iranian background, and she was incredibly enthusiastic, and you know, she ended up
the woman
buying,
who
like,
sat down with us at the beginning, the woman
yeah,
with the two kids
the
at the beginning. Okay,
yeah,
just yeah, okay,
she was
yeah,
really
yeah,
enthusiastic.
I thought they were part of your family. I didn't
no,
know.
They were,
I didn't know anybody.
They were from the bookstore. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
so,
right on.
Right.
Okay, right
so,
on. Yeah, it was awesome. It was
yeah,
awesome.
There was just all
you
this.
Were awesome too.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Really.
Thank you. It was an incredible achievement to, you know, to just get there and go, I'm here, you know, because
yeah,
riding
exactly.
up the Parkway, the Turnpike, dropping Zach off first at his producers, you know, with his contracts for his album, and I'm like, man, this is all happening.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow,
yeah.
That's awesome. Okay.
I know,
is that a,
I know.
That's a done deal? Is that
no,
signed,
no,
sealed,
and... No, it's preliminary.
Still negotiating?
Preliminary, but yeah.
Okay.
But it's progress.
Okay.
You know,
right
it's progress,
right
and we were
right
we dropped him off before we went there, somewhere in Parsippany, and yeah, it's just kind of an amazing, I think, like coming together. That's how it felt to me.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it really was. It was. I came home. You know, finally. You know, I drop Alana off. I come back to Scott's and. I mean, I couldn't sleep. In fact, I had written, I think, at 12:30. It's like, I got to try and calm down. I mean, just because, you know, Scott had to work the next day. Oh, no, it was Sunday. I guess nothing. Oh, I had to work the next day. I didn't know what time yet. I had to work for Wani. It wasn't until 6. But, you know, it's just like, for some
yeah.
reason, something clicked into my head, and it was like, you know, okay, Goldie, it's over. You know, you gotta, because I had a, you know, I'm definitely the kid that, you know, I don't want the party to end when it's that good. It's just
sure,
that
sure.
good, you know. So,
but
it was
as
wonderful.
You can see as you can see tonight, it hasn't.
Well, that's, you know what? That's the, I mean, oh my God. Well, then we go into the 11-11 yesterday. I mean,
yeah.
I beg everybody to really be aware that looking for the shifts to be happening on the outside world is,
that's such a good
in my
point.
Humble opinion, a misdirection. That's a misdirection. And believe me, they have to happen on the outside world because it's happening to all of us inside of us.
Right.
And you know, because I don't know if you got that email. I looked up the David Hawking's.
Oh, I did.
Work.
I did.
Well, because it was so interesting how when I was talking to Joanne and Lisa and, you know, sharing. I'll share it with the audience. So one of the things that I have noticed lately in the tracking of myself is the number 750. 750 for like the past, like it's longer than a month. It's probably about 2 months. Has shown itself in my awareness as it's shown itself as I will have, you know, I can basically maintain, relatively speaking, $750 in my bank account. And me and Janine have been maintaining 750 listeners to the show every week. And then it hit me that there was a third 750. It was the show, the bank account. Oh, there was something else that was 750. I can't remember right now, but it just kind of came into my awareness because when I was working with Greg Norman at WARL, when I first got into radio, I remember him telling me, you know, if you had to pick a number of how much money you could raise, how much money do you think you'd be able to raise? You know, and I basically went to, I don't know, I could probably raise $1,500. You know, and when it came down to it, I raised $20,000. And the reason why I say that is I had no idea I had that in me. I truly didn't. I had no idea that was in me. But what it did was it raised my own awareness of it. It feels like it's our field. Our field of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And the number 750 just keeps showing up in my field of awareness, whether it's the bank account or, but it also, you know, it feels like I go, I have a feeling that's a resonance in my heart too. Cause I know, I thought the frequency of like, if you do the frequency, they say, the heart frequency, I thought it was like 750. I didn't know. It's actually 540 megahertz is, I guess, a frequency that they consider, you know, it'll create the sacred geometry that is the heart. So, I'm losing myself.
Right, I think that's such valuable information that he's offering.
David Hawkins,
in a way. No, I think that, what I noticed when I first came across it, and it was recommended to me by someone, and then, you know, I told you about it too, and then, but I do think that he really is onto something that will help people get a sense of what it feels like, you know, and what is involved in sort of the quality consciousness or the almost to me like the impact of consciousness. Like I thought it was incredible that one person at 600 it almost neutralizes out how many people at like
10 million.
Million at like what, 200 or what?
Below 200.
Below
correct.
200, right. And I
correct.
Thought that makes so much sense to me, but I think his work in this chart in particular is incredibly valuable to you know, and so it makes sense.
Yeah,
to me.
I'm gonna post it. I'm gonna post it on my Facebook. But I just wanna read
yeah,
to the people the
yeah.
numbers. So because right, thank you. I don't. I was totally losing myself there. Anyways, Yeah, because, okay, so David Hawking basically finds the scale of consciousness through muscle testing. So he
right.
tests these streams of consciousness. Now, the lowest that he tested was guilt, and guilt registers at 30.
Mm.
Apathy at 50. Grief, 75. Fear, 100. Desire, 125. Anger, 150. Pride, 175. And then he writes this thing that says, below 200 is below the critical level of integrity. So all of those things that I just shared, the guilt, apathy, grief, fear, desire, anger, and pride, all of those muscle tested below integrity. And what I was talking about recently on the Facebook stuff and what we were talking about last week is that when you're in streams of consciousness below 200, those are all streams of consciousness that are anti-life.
Yeah.
In other
yeah.
words, he muscle tested them as weakness in his body, not as strength.
Right. So it's anti-life.
It's anti-life, and that really is a critical awareness.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, 200 is courage. The minute we start showing courage, we are, you know, we're taking our power back from the anti-life conditioning that the reptilians, in my humble opinion, are, you know, and the powers that be have implemented on us. So, but let's keep going. So courage is 200, neutrality, 250, willingness, 310, acceptance, 350, reason, 400, love, 500, joy, 540, peace, 600, and enlightenment, 700 through 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, it's so funny because I had a conversation with my a girlfriend. We talked about this last week as well, where she said enlightenment can only happen post-death. She didn't believe enlightenment could happen. And by the way, this is the same person who's trying to get her boyfriend to come up. I'm building a character assessment here. And so when I started noticing my number, not through muscle testing, just through the tracking and the awareness of my own life at being at 750, I'll be honest with you. I absolutely believe that I am living in an enlightened stage right now. And here's why, I don't have work right now. So what does that do? That allows me to go. I go to my office called The Forest. And I'm hanging out, you know, in YMCA whirlpools, you know, having these extraordinary journeys that are doing amazing things. One of the things I noticed when I was very nervous about all the walking that was going to be potentially I was going to have to do in New York City with my back.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I was clear, I was fine all day. We had ended up not even sitting on the train going into New York City. There was no seats. And I wasn't tired. We walked around and, you know, we didn't do a ton of walking, but we did enough walking that it's like, I just had this fear that I was like, oh, your body can't do this, Goldie, your body can't do this. Nonsense.
I
absolutely have more stamina when I need it. You know, I'm not saying I could do it every day, but when I needed it, my body was responding beautifully. And it was like, and it made me laugh because I was like, well, you're taking care of your body. So, of course, it does respond, you know, that you're able to do this, you know, which I believe has a lot to do with why, you know, as much as it was crazy for you, your body handled it beautifully because, you know, you do take care of your body. You rest when you need to rest and you get oxygen when you need, you know, when that's what's needed. And
yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I
it's like
my body, you know, and rest when I need to. And, you know, and I did have the stamina to carry out these past 2 weeks. And
yeah, and that's,
and,
I mean, you really, see now, and I'm telling you, with you, that's why I'm like, wow, you really, it would, nobody would have disgraced you if you said, listen, I'm just too tired to do this. And that not only didn't come out of you, but you radiated the whole time. You know, you, mm-hmm. there was never a feeling like, are we done yet? You know, you really radiated, you know, a joy. 540.
No, I'm so glad you're talking about this, because I really think that I think that he's onto something there. You can start to see how that plays out, that anti life versus crossing over with courage, which is, you know, Anais Nin's comment about life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage. I mean, she was a French writer, long gone, but, you know, she knew. And the word integrity, I think, is so misinterpreted that, that you're saying I'm bad and I'm not a good person if you say, no, it's the integrity of a system, which is the system of the human being in its, like, in its workability, and so that's integrity. Like, integrity of a car engine is good or not good depending on how it's running. So the running of the consciousness, that's not, what would you say, what does he use for anti-life versus what's the when you cross over, what's he called?
When you cross over, you mean to die?
No, when you go on to the 200s and above, what is that? That's supporting life, or that's...
Right. It's life-enhancing.
Life-enhancing, okay.
The way he says it is, when he muscle test, he had strength.
Okay,
that's
right.
That's when his body showed strength.
Right.
Because the integrity is, he's in alignment with his body for life.
Yes.
Where he went weak. And I do just want to say one thing, though, that pride, anger, desire, fear, grief, apathy, guilt, these are not to be avoided. These are to be integrated. See, this is, again, what I'm talking about. You start at the bottom. And, hey, listen, you guys heard me a few weeks ago when I got angry with the person I was working for. I have anger in me. We have grief in us. This isn't about that you...
You don't exile them. Because if you exile them, that means they're out there and in prison, you know, some sort of like, you know, don't touch them, and then you don't integrate and you don't go into the life supporting consciousness. You have to, you know, organically work with this parts of yourself. You know,
exactly.
So,
beautiful.
So that's key.
And here's the key, because this was, if you work with the darkness of your life, it won't work you. And it seems like darkness works against us when we deny it in ourselves. But if we own our darkness, I'm telling you, it is such a game changer, because ultimately, why is it a game changer? It ultimately leads to courage, because you really do need courage based on our conditioning to do this.
Yeah.
But courage becomes less of a play, and it really becomes more of a it's a confidence builder to own these aspects of self. And then you start realizing that all the manipulation going on in the world from the anti-life conditions, they simply just don't, they won't apply to you. You know, so the world is collapsing.
Remember,
go to the forest and find life.
Also, do you remember, like, even in this storm, which I thought was so interesting, that I found this storm to be somewhat of a natural stimulus. But I find the analogy of the storm, too, was, well, what did people do when they didn't have power? They went and got a generator. And the interesting thing is, when you're in the consciousness of supporting life and the strength, you are your own generator. You know, you don't need a backup generator.
Yes.
You know, you are it. So, you know, I think that's another key thing, that this is not an outside source kind of thing. This is this is the inner sun, whatever you want to call it. You know, it's the It is the energy of the self, you know, and
yes, that's what I like calling it.
The energy,
you know,
it's self,
and there's power in that. There it is. Exactly. So true. God, I just love when a plan comes to fruition. It just comes together.
Yes.
No, right. It's so beautiful. I mean, I was truly, I mean, when I saw it, because it was funny, I didn't just stumble on this. I was actually lying in bed last night, and I got the hit. It was like, look up David Hawkins. I used to have the book. I looked for the book. I didn't have it. It was like, go online. I'm sure you can find it.
Yeah.
And when I saw enlightenment between 700 and 1,000, and you know how I've been saying lately, it's between 750 and 1,000. That has been our, we're maintaining a listening audience
right.
between 750 and 1,000. When
right.
I saw those numbers, I was like, whoa, you know, and you know, this is not about me being, it's not about being cocky going.
No.
is simply the outside world showing me a reference, because I didn't muscle test this number 750.
Yeah.
This is just my awareness of what is showing up. Like I said, I'm maintaining a balance account, a bank account at that. I'm maintaining an audience with that. And so you can't help but, if you're tracking your life, it just becomes noticing. Because, you know, I find it so interesting to be coming into, you know, November 12th, or even November 11th, the 11-11 on the gateway. I get this information, which again for me is really about the blending of. So I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not going on the artificial timeline. I am blending. My dreams are coming true. You know, placement. It's such a it's a rabbit crossing the street, crossing the driveway, and the beautiful part is. Everybody has these signs.
Yeah.
I talk about them because you should all be looking for these signs in your life. They're all there. And again, you know, if your number feels like, okay, 150, that's anger. Okay, so start at 150. You just start where you are. This isn't about, you know, damn it, why am I not at, 800 or whatever. It's like, you know, part of tracking is, I don't know where it comes, honesty with self.
Yeah.
Because if you're honest with yourself and track your anger, it will integrate and it will naturally, you'll see in the integration, I'm telling you that courage reminds me of, it's almost like, it's the person you invite to the table that you don't even know that they're there until, you know, all of a sudden you're like, God, you know, I'm so glad you're here because, you know, can you pass me the broccoli? You know, I mean, it's like, courage is just one of, it's hard to be conscious initially of courage and fear. But if you, you know, the first step is just turning around and facing your fear. And by nature's way, courage is there. That
yeah.
If you take one small step, the presence of your courage, which is absolutely within you, will show up. And when it shows up, you'll then see that courage quickly will lead to adventurer, pioneer, you know, just downright crazy person that has wonderful
yeah.
things going on. That
the
are so outside the box, the unexpected.
You know, that amazes you. You know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was just.
No, don't be sorry. You're awesome.
No,
we're both
excited about courage.
Exactly. Well, because,
no,
you know, it's worthy of excitement for goodness sakes.
No, it's you notice, I mean, it's good to, why this information is good because it, quote, you know, sheds light on areas of ourselves where you get to look at it and, like, you know, you tracking and when you, and one of the telltales is when you notice a resistance, a nervousness, an apprehension, it's a tip-off that that's your place. You know, there it is. And so it's, if you just allow that, and that is a certain, you know, honesty, but not in like, you know, you better be honest with yourself. No, it's just,
right.
If you notice
right.
things that, you know, kind of test you, that's where the courage, it's literally that. Remember when you said something the other week, you know, said something like, I thought it was going to be so much harder. I don't know what
yes.
you were talking about. And I think this also pertains to how do
knowing
we know.
Knowing the truth. I was talking about my ability to see the truth.
Yeah, yes. and you said, I thought it was going to be so much harder. And I think this is another one of those cases where if you just
You're beautiful.
Open
That's perfect.
Up,
yes.
If you just open up to that courage lets you know when you're going to call on it, or it's going to be there for you, because it's going to say, you're going to get that feeling of like, oh, I don't know. There's the courage. Because, so it's not as, and this is, again, that upside down world or that misinformation or that, you know, a half measure kind of thing where, you know, stay away from the unsafe thing, or stay away from your fears,
right.
or stay away from your feelings. That's a half measure to me. That's like, no, that's exactly what you don't stay away from. And
exactly.
I think this is another one of those cases where people, this is another piece I want to share, that people
okay.
get to think that, well, how will I know? Or, oh, that seems so abstract. But the person that I loved to work with all my, you know, for the last 18 years was Angela Sarian. And she used to use an expression that I thought was so amazing, and it fits right here. She said, we've become instinct injured. And I think
that's a great one. Yeah.
It is, because what that means is, you know, the truth isn't that hard to know, and to know where, when we need our courage, or that we're in the realm of courage or the land of courage, it's not that hard to know. It's that we've, in this conditioning and this kind of forgetting, we have become instinct injured. So, you know, when you know, which of course to me is also it's unnatural to become instinct injured. So when we
right.
start to get more in touch with the tip-offs of our body, you know, our body kind of, you know, just watch the body go, you go, oop, courage, you know, or, I notice I'm feeling guilty, or what's the first one? Shame, or what's the first one? The lowest
guilt
one
is
guilty?
Actually the first one.
Guilt. Or I'm feeling guilty. See, all of a sudden, noticing that is good, and it's interesting, as opposed to it's shameful, or it's like, oh, bad, or it. No, this is like, this is, quote, enlightening you. You know, so. So
if you become conscious of it, that's the key. Become conscious.
That's the key.
Of it.
And get, you know, so I love that I love that expression, instinct injured, where
it's a great expression.
It is, and we're not, you know, if we get it, all you got to do is get that thing, and you will realize it's not as hard to know, actually.
It's
that we bought into the fact that it's hard to know, but you know. So I love, that's a real place to, like, you know, go, oh, okay. You know, I always say,
if you can invite
in those, these things, that they will show up by the very nature that, like, for instance, you're already in the
willingness, 3:10.
Exactly. Willingness is so good. You know, it's like, if you're willing, you're, it's like, okay. You know, it's a big deal.
Well, and you know what's funny is I'm looking at this. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you.
No, no,
I'm sorry.
Right.
Please
that's
continue.
Right.
I'm sorry.
No, go, because I was kind of done.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, go.
But what it's so funny is when you look at the list, as above, so below. See, if you work with guilt, you'll bring in courage, because as above, so below. And it almost seems like, oh, and willingness comes when you're willing to look at your fear. It's almost like they really do kind of happen simultaneously.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
You know, because they all kind of go, they're pairs of opposites. That's so funny because, and you know, the top one is pride and enlightenment. Boy, God, does Goldie know that?
Yeah, well, and you know, there's, and I love that when you wrote me, Jay, you know, 750, I was like, that's so good that she knows that, because that's a confidence. That's not a arrogance. That's a knowing. That's a sensing. That's not a, it really was. I was real happy to see that, you know, and like what just came out of my mouth before, which is so true, is that by knowing that you're in a place of guilt, or you're knowing that you're in a place of, you know, whatever.
Fear, desire, anger.
Yeah. You are enlightening yourself. So
right.
So you're already in the process. It's everything's kicking in, you know. So it's
exactly
it's, that's
now
why
it's about aligning with it. That's exactly right. That's it.
Yeah.
So, as opposed to taking drugs to not feel depressed.
Oh,
it's
the complete opposite of that, which is like why, you know, I'm such a proponent of feeling. You know,
yeah, no, right
of,
on.
Right,
well, and
right.
I'll tell you, that's why I truly believe that, I try very hard to be there for the kids, because,
yeah.
I mean, I love my mom and the people around me when I was a kid, but they didn't have the awareness to tell me and to help me understand, like, empathy and things of that nature. Nobody told me feeling bad was enlightening. Nobody told me that at all. In fact, most what they told me, more than in their verb, in their actions, they showed me that when they were feeling challenging feelings, they checked out. So, you know, by their simple, by the acts of what they did, you know, taught me to do it as well. And again, it was my journey. So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's so,
but,
you know, I have no regrets. But it is very interesting that the first, because I thought about this too, you know, I'm never in alignment with mass consciousness, because the first 30 years of my life, I was pretty much afraid of everything. I mean, I was still, you know, what I would call an indigo kid and breaking rules and things of that nature. But there was a lot of fear in me about so much. And now that the rest of the world is, you know, very much in, They're coming into the awareness of their fear.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going, you know, I'm cool. I'm not afraid. I mean, I'm not saying I don't, you know, I was in Bridgeport and I had concerns for, you know, for safety, and I had concerns for our well-being. But it wasn't like we got off the train and I immediately got into a cab because we had to, you know, the reaction wasn't, fear didn't win, but fear,
right.
I was conscious of it. And you know, because I said, you know, well, should we call the boys and have them come pick us up? Or, you know, we went through the steps we needed to take. Because, again, this is never about, I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying to people, don't be afraid. Because I'll be honest with you, that just pisses me off when I hear people say that. Don't
yeah.
be afraid. Yeah, that's unnatural to not. If you're not afraid, you're in denial. That's not what you want. You want to have the fear, integrate it, and find the courage. That
yeah.
fear's greatest gift to us is courage. It guides us to go within, and that
yeah.
is a great gift.
Yeah, and then you'll notice, which is one of my, you know, things I talk about is you'll notice the ability to hold the tension, because it is, you know, if it's,
yeah.
if it's, you know, like you staying in Bridgeport, you know,
yep.
you didn't run it, you know, there is a little tension there, but you're holding it. You're not panicking.
Exactly.
You know, and it's a really key piece in the whole process. It's,
that
it's,
is
you don't
a key
run
piece.
Away.
Excellent point. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't run away. You don't, you know, go, I better medicate this away, or, you know, all of the above. So,
or avoid the situation, because, you know, how
taboo.
Many of us avoid the yeah, exactly. Listen,
none,
you're not
going
to know courage unless you have a challenging situation to be courageous in. And, you know, so there's a balance. Come undone, exactly. my friend.
That's
it was
crazy.
Yeah,
that's
this
so
is
wild, huh?
Yeah, I went timeless as well tonight.
That was good.
I really did.
Yeah, me too.
This is
me
awesome.
Too.
Yeah.
It
was
yeah,
fun,
well,
fun reminiscing. I love it. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Janine. Thank you. Thank you for everything. I'm so... I just can't get over that my partner is you. I feel so very blessed. I'm like, I swear, this is where pride comes in. You should see me. I'm just like, that's my girl. That is my. She's my co-host. She's my you're the host as well, and my best friend. And I'm just truly delighted that I'm on this journey and you're with me. I really am. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Thank you, and I am too. And I feel it from you. So that's. You know,
right
it was so much fun.
Yeah, it's genuine. Thank
yes.
you. Yeah. It's,
yes.
And I'll be honest, I said, but we're probably not going to come down until you get, until next year. That might not be true.
All right.
Yeah.
All
okay,
right.
Tell everybody where they can where they can get find you and Sean the White Rabbit Thief and all that good stuff.
Okay, well, let's see. I have a website, and it's jlkimmel.com, K-I-M-M-E-L.com. And my book is on Amazon or in a bookstore if you go in and ask for it. It's The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle. And I'm on Facebook, and you can find me. I always say go to Goldie's page and look up friends, and Janine L. Kimmel's there. So thank you, Goldie.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Janine. And anotherrealityshow.com is my webpage. I try to put your the Blog Talk Radio only lets Facebook and Twitter on that homepage thing. That's
okay.
Why what I'm going to start doing, though, is I'm going to put it in all the events that we make from the Facebook side.
Oh, okay,
so,
thanks.
Yeah, so, if you're on Facebook, if you go to the event page for this, there's a link directly to Amazon to buy the book. And I love you guys, and we have an amazing couple of weeks coming up. My guess is between now and New Year's Eve, it's going to be intense, and it is intense. So, follow your heart, go within go within, because that's where all your answers lie. I don't even like saying that. That's where all your answers are. They don't lie. They are there. It is there. And
they
trust
lie,
that
they,
everything
they
you
stand,
need.
They stand. They walk.
That's true. Well said.
Cartwheel.
I love it. So go within. I promise you, if you look within for your answers, they will be there, and the journey will change from being in total hell to, hell with some chocolate.
Hell covered chocolate.
I love you guys.
Thank you, everyone.
All right, we'll talk to everybody next week. Yes, I'll see you all on Facebook. I love you, Janine, and have a great week.
All right, all right. You too. Bye.
Bye, love. Bye.
Oh. Love you all. Gotta go.
Oh, wow.
Bye.
I'm so glad we had
time together.
To have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know.